mercy and peace to you from God our Father, who our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Repenting in Christ Jesus, what do the following have in common? Saul, David, Solomon, Herod, Charlemagne, Henry V, Ludwig, Louis XIV, Louis XVI, George III, George V. What do they all have in common? They're all kings. That's right. And all kings have a what? They all have a kingdom. Yeah. Tomorrow in our church calendar is the last Sunday of the church year, and it is called Christ the King Sunday. And you may have noticed that all three of the readings today make mention of God's kingdom, of Jesus' kingdom. But you also need to remember that when you're talking about the kingdom of God, the scriptures use that term in three very distinct ways. Sometimes the scriptures are talking about God's kingdom of power. Sometimes they're talking about God's kingdom of grace. And other times they talk about God's kingdom of glory. So I thought it wise for me to flesh that out a little bit. Some of you might remember from your catechism, but I suspect most of you have long forgotten that. So let's talk a little bit about the kingdom of power first. You know that man, right? Adolf Hitler. Would you agree with me? One of the most evil and vile human beings that's ever walked the planet. Caused the death of more people than we could ever count. He was a bad man. But when the sun went down at night, what could he expect in the morning? He could expect that the sun would rise. When Adolf Hitler was hungry and he ate, he could expect not to be hungry for a while again. When he was thirsty and he drank, he was not thirsty again for a while. If he got a paper cut on his finger, you could anticipate that it would heal. In other words, everything that you and I anticipate and enjoy amongst in God's kingdom every single day were also the things that he could celebrate. That's because God's kingdom of power covers the entire universe. He keeps everything in order. The planets going in their order, the stars, the sun rotating the way they should, the water cycle, the geologic cycle, the coming and the going of the seasons, all of those things he keeps. And so every single human being living on this, the face of this planet today, lives in God's kingdom of power, whether they acknowledge it or not. In Matthew chapter 5, on the righteous and the unrighteous. When it rains, it doesn't just rain on the believers' fields, it rains on the unbelievers' fields too, and so on and so forth. In fact, in Malachi, it says here, it is futile to serve God. What could we gain by hearing out his requirements and going about like mourners before Yahweh Almighty? But now, we call it arrogant blessing. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God speak. Yeah, they think they can get away with those things because they think the power resides in them. If they don't acknowledge that they live in God's power and order, well, they're going to learn something someday. That day is coming. So whether they acknowledge it or not makes no difference. God's kingdom of power is what you and I anticipate. We live in every day, whether we're an Adolf Hitler or a believer in Christ. Alright, so that's the kingdom of power. That's pretty straightforward. How about the kingdom of grace? You just watched young Landry get baptized. You were all witnesses and participants in that. You realize what happened when he went up there? He went up there a simple child man. He came back
yourself into some kind of trouble. Somebody's after you, whether right or wrong. And you come to the United States Embassy in that city, in that country. You come to that embassy. Can you just walk in there? You have to be identified. There's only one way into the embassy and through the gate. There's going to be a couple of Marines, hard-faced Marines standing there, and they're going to say to me, I see your passport, sir. And you best have your passport. In fact, if you want to go into the embassy, they have to be able to identify you. Well, in the same way, when Landry came to be baptized, there the Lord now has laid upon him the name of Christ. And ever after, Landry will be identified as one of Christ's children. He has entered into the kingdom of grace. Every one of us entered it one way or the other. We either entered it through baptism, or we entered it by coming to faith in Christ Jesus. For most of us, I suspect it was baptism as a child. For some, it'll have been another way. But the moment you came to know Jesus Christ, you entered into God's kingdom of grace. There's only one way in. There's only one way into the kingdom of grace. There's only one way to have that salvation, and that is to know Jesus Christ as your own. We're going to hear John the Baptist in the next couple of weeks. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and what's he going to say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's not talking about the kingdom of power, but that's right here. No, he's talking about the fact that Messiah is coming. And when people meet Jesus of Nazareth, and they come to realize that he is that chosen one, that Messiah, they are going to enter into God's kingdom of grace. That's why he says, repent, be ready, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because where Jesus comes and brings the gospel, the good news, those people who follow him and trust in his word, every one of them enters into that kingdom of grace. We hear Jesus again. He's hanging on that cross in that gospel lesson. They've just nailed him to the cross. They've treated him shamefully. Almost none of the people that are standing there believe in him. And yet, what does he say? Father, forgive them. And if they don't know what to do, that is God's kingdom of grace in action. That's Jesus asking that the Father would forgive those people and not hold that against them. Our salvation is assured in Christ Jesus. So that means that every one of you who puts your trust in Christ right now already live in God's kingdom of grace. You know who Jesus is, and therefore you know where you're headed. You've got a promise. You've got an absolute promise. Landry received that promise right before our eyes tonight. Colossians, that the epistle lesson we have tonight, talks about that, how he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son who loves. He brought us into the kingdom of grace, Christ Jesus. And then he says here, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That was the price that was paid. That's how Jesus becomes the gate of the sheep. He says in one place, I am the gate of the sheep. They come in and go out and find pasture. Why? Only through Christ Jesus. And so you and I have safe harbor. And the church in this world, the church invisible, that church that God only sees by knowing their hearts, that is in the kingdom of grace. So why in this kingdom prepares us for the next one? Now there's one more thing, right? The kingdom of glory. That's where you and I want to be, right? That's where I want to be. I suspect you do too. Because we're still waiting for that kingdom full blown. We get little glimpses of it, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But the kingdom of glory is heaven. It is being where God is. We're still waiting for that. You think any one of you could have a sleepover at that house? You might. You might have to shell out some big bucks and have to get a really big kid. But yeah, even though the White House is called might be, the questions that I get asked all the time, well, what's going to happen? I just tell folks, don't worry about it. Because number one, being in the kingdom of glory, being in heaven, is being where God is. In John 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Folks, that's heaven right there. It's being where Jesus is. Because where Jesus is, he is good. Whatever else it's going to be, I don't know if your cat's going to be there. I don't know if your puppy dogs are going to be there. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. And I don't care. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to be where God is. I'll take care of it all. And I don't think any one of us is going to be disappointed with what he's got prepared. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross today in our gospel lesson? And all that man said is, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's not talking about the kingdom of power. He's not talking about the kingdom of grace. He's talking about the kingdom of glory. He wants to be in heaven when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And what does Jesus answer here? I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus gives him that gift. Gives it to him. That man didn't go to catechism. Why is it? That man was not baptized. That man, I don't know what he knew about Jesus. But at that moment, he looks at Jesus and he sees his one and only hope in the world. He says, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus says, don't worry. I will not forget you. He says the same thing to us. Now, I said earlier, sometimes we get glimpses of the kingdom of glory. I remember going to a Promise Keepers clergy conference. 40,000 pastors, and they preached on Atlanta. You know, they tore that down this year. You know why? Because those 40,000 pastors all believed that they could sing, and they all like to sing. And we just tore the roof to pieces, I'm sure. That's probably why they tore it down. But if you can imagine 40,000 pastors of every denomination, you could just about think of it. And when we sang the opening song, holy, 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 all I could say was holy now. Made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I thought at that very moment, I thought this is a little foretaste, a little glimpse. What heaven's going to be. There we'll sing in our millions and billions, but there is just 40,000 of those pastors. But boy, did we enjoy singing. I always tell the kids, too, there was one other time that I got a little glimpse of heaven. It was at my son Dan's wedding. Pretty sure it was dancing the poker because we were rotating around the floor. I told the while Ryan Dietrich was our DJ, and I told him I wouldn't pay him unless he played four pokers that night. So he made me bring him a disc and he played four. So there I can still picture this. Becky and I we're dancing, we're twirling around the floor. And everywhere I looked, I saw people that I loved, and they were all filled with joy. And I remember thinking as we were dancing, there's a little glimpse of what heaven will be. To be surrounded by people that you love, and they will all feel the joy. That's what we're waiting for. That's what Jesus died for us. He brings us into his kingdom of grace so that we might be with him in that kingdom of glory. And so that's going to come. Even Jesus is going to call you and me home. And he's going to come back during our time here. Either way, I'm ready. And either way, you and I can say, come quickly. Now, you sit on a hill here. You know, the three kingdoms. You sort of see the kingdom of power, that's the lower level there, which I think that hall. And the second level, that's the kingdom of grace up higher. And at the very top is the citadel, that's the kingdom of glory. So you have the three kingdoms here, it's sort of that picture of the city on a hill. And you and I can get to run up high. Run up high. But now I got one more question for you. Alright? So if you and I, we go to the kingdom of grace and then we get into the kingdom of glory, where did the people go who rejected Jesus? Where did they go? Because when they die, they're no longer in the kingdom of power. None of us are dead. We're now either in this kingdom of glory or someplace else. You know where that is? That's outside that hall. That's outside that city. That's what we call hell, right? But what hell really is being someplace where God will not be there. He's going to absent himself from that. He's basically going to say to the people who have all their lives said, I don't want you, I don't want you, I don't want you. Finally, the Lord reluctantly says, okay, I'm going to leave you. What's the point of calling? You're going to be without me. Folks, I don't even want to think about what it would be like to be in an existence where God is absent himself, where nothing will work right, where nothing will be right, where nothing will ever be giving you hope, where nothing will ever make a bit of sense again. Now, you and I, we're all in the kingdom of power. By God's gift, we've been brought into the kingdom of grace, and because we're in that kingdom of grace and trust Christ Jesus, we know we're going to be up there at the top. We're going to be there where Jesus is. We're going to be in heaven, that kingdom of glory. And since that's where our destination is, and since that's why we know that